May God's words be spoken. May God's words be heard. Amen. It's so good to be back here with all you. I mean, I really enjoyed my vacation, and I needed it so much, but I missed y'all. And I missed the choir, too, and what an awesome time to come back to church. Hello. Returning on Choir Appreciation Sunday, because if you don't know, I'm a major choir groupie. And what an amazing sound they raise up every week to God, right? And finally, I'm able to truly welcome our new director of music, Ryan Bridge. Woo! Now, one of the things I had hoped to do while I was away was to get to Citi Field to watch my Mets play. I didn't. But I did get to enjoy watching them on TV. And if, like me, you are a baseball fan, you probably heard about a big event this past week. And no, not the three-game stretch of the Mets scoring 10 or more runs, with every single 10th run being the result of a particular new rookie in the lineup. I know y'all knew that, right? Of course you did. Now, while that was a big deal, something even more amazing happened, and sadly, it had nothing to do with the Mets. Shohei Ohtani, a player for the Los Angeles Dodgers, has done something that has never been done before in Major League Baseball. He hit 50 home runs and snagged 50 stolen bases. Right? Now, prior to this feat, which he did while also going 6-for-6 with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs, runs batted in for non-baseball folk, the big challenge for baseball players every season was to cross the 40-40 mark. 40 homers and 40 stolen bases. I mean, there has never been anyone to make it to 50-50. Did I mention he also pitches, though not this season? It's an insane level of playing that has everyone in baseball calling Mr. Ohtani the GOAT, the greatest of all time. The thing is, while there are arguments for or against the GOAT title for Ohtani, and many will argue that the title is still in the hands of greats like Babe Ruth and Willie Mays, we sure do have a fascination with it lately. We see the GOAT label attached to all sorts of things and people, and even an Optimum TV commercial with another baseball legend, Derek Jeter. And it would seem this desire to throw this label around is as old as humanity. Just take a look at our gospel today. Now, before we get to the moment, what we just heard a moment ago, let's look at what preceded it. Just before this passage we heard today, the disciples had tried to cast out a demon from a man's son, but failed. Why? Well, Jesus, after taking care of it himself, tells them that this strong a demon requires prayer to cast out. Now, that might seem like he was saying, yeah, well, it wasn't your fault. But when combined with what happens next, we see that isn't the case at all. Just after this, the part we heard today, as they're walking along through Galilee on the way to Capernaum, as you do, Jesus was telling them again about his impending death and resurrection. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but was too afraid to ask him to explain it. Now, I suppose you could understand that given the "get behind me, Satan" response Jesus had to Peter the last time this subject came up. Still, they were unwilling to look like they didn't know something, so remained quiet. At least about that, anyway. Instead, they began to argue among themselves. And when Jesus asked them what the argument was about, they wouldn't answer. Because they were, you know, if you can believe it, fighting over who was the greatest. Of course, this is a rhetorical question Jesus is asking. He knows the answer in the same way that parents often know what's actually going on when they ask the same thing of their children. I mean, at this point, you wouldn't blame Jesus at all for ditching them and exchanging them for all the women and other outcasts who actually pay attention and understand who Jesus is. But he doesn't. Instead, Jesus sits them down and tells them bluntly, whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. But more than that, he brings a child among them and tells them that this child is to be welcomed in his name. And those who do welcome not only Jesus, but God. Now, it's hard to imagine how this came across to the disciples, given that we have a different view of children in our society, at least. In the ancient Near East, however, at the time of Jesus, children were akin to slaves in worth. And it's quite likely that, given the hour, this might have been the child of a slave, the lowest of the low. They were not images of innocence and playfulness as we see them now, but of poverty and powerlessness. And Jesus sits down at eye level with the child, modeling for his disciples the way of life he expects of them. Jesus is breaking down the assumptions of the disciples about who they are and what it means to be their followers. Assumptions that were blocking them from being able to fully live into their calling. See, the disciples, they felt that being a follower of Jesus, a follower of the Messiah, meant that they had privileges. The ability to heal, a special pass into heaven, the best seats at the table. They began to believe that following Christ was a path to privilege and power, rather than a journey of service and humility. Jesus was trying to show them what was required of them. For their master was at the eye level in that moment with the lowest of the low in society, telling them that is where they needed to be too. That is where we will meet and welcome him. Why does Jesus do this? The lure to be powerful is an evil that lingers throughout all of history in nearly all cultures and eras. It's a snare that can entrap even those who start out with the best of intentions. And once caught, corrupts absolutely. Which is why the seeds of humility must be planted early so that the roots can grow deep and strong before fame and money can begin to try to weaken the plant of the human soul. Perhaps that's why Shohei Ohtani's first coach at Hanamaki Higashi, the high school he attended in Japan, had a rather unique approach to mentoring his charges. As reported in the Los Angeles Times back in 2017, Higashi's players live on campus, returning home only 6 days a year. Hiroshi Sasaki, the coach of the team, assigns them chores. And pitchers like Ohtani clean toilets. Sasaki had a reason for this particular assignment, and that it never changed. The mound is the most elevated place on the field, he explained. It's a stage. If you're on that stage, you receive the most attention. You get interviewed and written about the most. The coach wanted to teach his pitchers humility. It might be a little different than what you do in the United States, he added. Ha, you think? For Ohtani, it seems to have prepared him well for what was to come, as he's reported to be quiet, humble, and gracious. For those that are not baseball fans, though, I promise you, this is my last mention of it, sort of, but it does make the point. The closer we get to power, the more power corrupts, and the greater our need to be rooted in the humility that will save us. For followers of Jesus, this is especially important to understand why we need to return to the moment before this one, where the disciples failed to help someone in need of healing. Jesus told them that this type of healing could only be done through prayer. And what he's telling them is that it is one thing to say you are my follower and to do the easy things. But to really make a difference, to really be my disciple, you are going to need to do difficult work, which you cannot do on your own. Jesus is telling them that it is only through prayer that they will be able to truly heal in his name. Or to put it another way, they have to first recognize that they are not the be-all, end-all. They must have the humility to see that only through God's grace can real healing be done in the world. And folks, we need to understand this lesson we are hearing today as much as those earlier disciples, because we have some big healing work to do ourselves. For today there are those who claim to follow Jesus, but ignore his teaching in the pursuit of power, even to the point of wanting to create a Christian state in the U.S. And make no mistake about it, this Christian nationalism is a demon that has infected part of the body of Christ in this country, and it is one that will require prayer and humility to exercise. To be clear about these Christians, their description of themselves, not one I would use, their gospel isn't that of Jesus. The beloved community of God in which all are welcome, all are included, all are made in God's image. Instead, it is good news only to those who are white, straight, citizens of the United States and English speaking. For they have forged a cross of their own, making, corrupting the teaching of Jesus Christ for their own well-being, for their own power, and crucifying him in the process. The sad thing is, like those disciples arguing on the road, they actually believe they're doing what Jesus would want them to do. Yet they have not only failed to welcome the lowly, the child of Jesus' teaching, they have been the ones to push that child into vulnerability through neglect, abuse, oppression, and hate. They seek to place upon all in this country the tenets of their faith, or more to the point, their warped interpretation of it. They want the Ten Commandments put up in schools, but do not abide by them. They want prayer in schools, but hold fast to their right to have assault rifles, even as children are slaughtered in the classrooms. Some of them wave Confederate battle flags, a symbol of racist violence, while wearing the cross of Christ on their necks or tattooing scriptures on their arms. Some even lift up a man convicted of fraud and sexual assault and call him the chosen one. Lest we think they are harmless, there are people dying because of it. Children in schools, Jews that worship in synagogues, people of color, and pregnant women. Just this past week, we began to hear the first stories of the effects of the repeal of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. Amber Thurman and Candy Miller died after complications from traveling out of state to get medically induced abortions. Both have other children, and both deaths were deemed preventable. And the law has not been in place preventing medical attention. Now, these happened in the early days after the Dobbs Supreme Court decision and subsequent state legislation back in 2022. We're just hearing about them now. And they're not the last. We will be hearing about more women's deaths as cases are made public. Those who pass these horrific laws restricting women's reproductive health care, and those who refuse to pass other laws preventing common sense gun legislation, I guarantee you, they also go to churches on Sunday. They claim to be followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. The way in which we treat the most vulnerable among us is the way in which we welcome Jesus, the way in which we welcome God. Children are not being welcomed in this country. They're being killed in school, orphaned by our laws, and ignored if they are poor, homeless, undocumented, LGBTQ+, female, or non-white. The demons that have infected the hearts of those who see Christianity as being endowed with rights rather than being a life of humility with serious responsibilities will not be easy to exercise. Our only hope is through the humble act of prayer for them and for the strength to challenge them and to remember the lessons of Jesus today. that the least of these is Christ. How we treat them is how a measure of how we treat him. That the grace to heal comes not from personal power, but from prayerful humility. That to be first is to be last and servant of all. And as we walk along the road with Jesus, let us not be arguing with one another or hoping for recognition, but instead seek the vulnerable children in our midst and welcome them. See the need for something to be done and be the first to clean the toilet or whatever else you got to do. But there are innings yet for us to play out in our lives, and we have much work to do before we retire our own jersey and meet the one and true goat. May we be ready for that moment, knowing we had left it all on the field, our uniforms covered in dirt, sweat, and grass stains, when that day comes for us. Amen.